Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast broadcast from the state capitol in Jefferson City, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Sheet Metal Workers Local 36. Now from the state capitol, the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast.
Welcome to the weekly Hashtag MoLedge Podcast, recorded live from the Missouri State Capitol. My name is Rachel Herndon of the Missouri Times, filling in for Scott Bond, who is on paternity leave. From all of our readers and listeners, welcome to the world, Gussie Fawn. First off, we thank our sponsors, Missouri Farm Bureau and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. After an incredibly busy week for the legislature, I'm here today with our first repeat guest, Brian Grace, lobbyist for the Dentons Group. And for the first time, we are welcoming Abram Messer, lobbyist for the Missouri Family Network, Representative Paul Kurtman, Republican from Union, Representative Gina Mittens, Democratic representative from St. Louis, Representative Kevin Engler, Republican representative from Farmington. Of course, big thank you to Representative Engler and the Honorable House Dog Layla for letting us record from their office. The biggest issue in the Capitol this week was SJR 39, sponsored by Lake St. Louis Senator Bob Onder. It was not voted on last night in committee. Maybe it'll come up next week. What do you think, Representative Kurtman?
Well, I think that right now the House is thoughtfully and carefully deliberating the merits of the bill, and of course, it's already had its hearing in the Emerging Issues Committee, and I think the entire body and probably the people of Missouri are anxiously anticipating exactly what the committee is going to do and decide whether or not they're going to let this move forward to the House and then ultimately to a ballot for the people, or whether or not the bill stays where it is in the House.
And of course, Missouri Family Network, who you represent, Abram, testified in support of SJR 39, and I saw you at a rally Tuesday where over 200 supporters came out. Why does your group support the possible ballot measure?
We support SJR 39 because, like many people in our religious communities, we do in fact feel as though our religious liberties are being threatened. If you look across our country, back in 2015, there are still 85 court cases pending dealing with the question of same-sex marriage. And here in Missouri, there are currently 14 municipalities where you can be fined for exercising your religious liberty. So I think those feelings are, in fact, well-founded, that we need to do something, that we need to move forward, and I believe that SJR 39 is the best way to do that. SJR 39 is not about discrimination cloaked in religion, and it is very much in the vein of live and let live. The real question, which I believe should be put to the voters, is very simple. Should we protect individuals who wish to exercise their liberty and free them from the threat of the government coming down upon them for exercising their religious liberties?
Now, Representative Mitten, you oppose the resolution. Are you surprised by Republican Representative Jim Hansen being on the fence?
No, I'm absolutely not surprised. I think that there are several folks on the other side of the aisle that recognize this for what it is. It's a serious problem and blow to our economy, which has been discussed over and over and over again. It was a lot of the testimony last week. And it is absolutely discrimination under the guise of religious freedom. You can look at that resolution, and all you have to do is where it says marriage of persons of the same sex, insert marriage of persons of different races, and we're right back to the 1960s in Loving versus West Virginia. I believe in religious freedom, but not when it's used as a way to discriminate. Churches right now are not required to perform a gay wedding any more than the Catholic Church is required to make me a priest. This is unnecessary from the church standpoint, and it is outright discrimination on the accommodation point. And when we see everybody from Monsanto to the NCAA coming and testifying about the problems, it's amazing to me that we're even having this discussion in the 21st century.
Now, quick take. If this makes it to the ballot this fall, will Missourians vote to add this to the Constitution? Abram.
I believe that the majority of Missouri citizens will, in fact, see SJR 39 as a necessary step towards protecting their religious liberties.
Representative Benton?
You know, my hope is that Missourians are going to recognize that this is not okay. I think that folks under 30 know that it's not okay, regardless of their political persuasion. But we can look to North Carolina, we can look to Indiana last year, and recognize that this is a serious threat, not only to just doing the right moral and ethical thing for folks that want to participate in a same-sex marriage, but it's also hugely detrimental to our economy.
Representative Kirtman?
I think that if this bill makes it to the ballot, I think people of our state are going to be smart enough to realize that there's a substantial difference between withholding services based on ideas of racial superiority or withholding services because you believe your services are going to condone or facilitate an act that you think is immoral or somehow contradicts your religious liberty. And I think that the people of our state value freedom, and I don't think they put a price tag on the First Amendment. I think that the people of our state will vote yes.
Now, minutes ago, the House voted down the medical marijuana bill. Take us through the journey so far, Representative Minton.
This was a serious blow, in my opinion. I supported the measure, even though I personally did not believe that it went far enough. It had been watered down to the point, when we perfected it earlier this week, it had been watered down to the point where it really only decriminalized for folks that were in hospice. Only folks dying of cancer, not of any other disease. My mother-in-law, for instance, died of congenital heart failure. She would not have been eligible for marijuana under this proposed bill, even though she had been in hospice care. And for it to not pass is a travesty, not only to the folks in Missouri that really need this important medicine, but it also opens up the legislature to having no control over it. And I fear that we will be in a situation where the voters want this, and I think that they will get an initiative petition passed, and we might not have the controls that we need to that we'll need to put in place in order to protect children and others if because of the failure today.
Now, Representative Kirtman, you were one of the votes that did not change. You were a yes vote. Were you surprised by the overall vote? What are your impressions going forward?
I was pleased to see on our perfection vote that we just recently had, and for those listening, a perfection vote is when we just vote to decide to stop amending a bill and let it go to the next process, and it passed. The majority of the General Assembly had approved that particular vote, but then when it came time for its final vote to send it to the Senate, it failed, and I was a little surprised by that. I think that what this does is it kind of illustrates a need for our government to make sure that we actually understand what it is we're doing here, and I don't believe, and I think that most people in the General Assembly don't believe, that government really should be standing between people and their medicine. But I think on an issue like this, it also has a much broader social impact. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there when you talk about cannabis or marijuana type issues. And I think it just kind of illustrates that we need a lot more education on the issue too. But the legislature has been discussing this issue and similar issues for the last several years. And I think ultimately we're going to begin to open up the markets, open up the medical community for innovation in this particular area. Apparently it's just not going to happen this year through the legislature.
Now, for those listening at home, there is an initiative petition out there that seeks to legalize marijuana pretty broadly. And so the legislature was seeking to regulate that basically preemptively, which Representative Minton had alluded to. So quick take, representatives, if the initiative petition makes it on the ballot, will Missourians vote to legalize marijuana?
Well, the initiative petition deals with medical marijuana. So I think that if it makes it to the ballot, I think it will. I know that it polls very strongly in my area, and I come from a very rural and conservative area. And I think that the people understand this fundamental principle of, you know, the government should not be creating criminals out of people that aren't doing anything to harm anybody else. And so this is an area that I think the people of our state understand just allows for medical research and medical relief and medical treatment. So I do think that it passes. I think the danger, though, is that this particular initiative petition puts policy in our Constitution and not a particular principle. So I think we have to be very careful putting a very long policy into our Constitution. So that's one danger that does exist there.
What do you think, Representative?
I agree with a lot of Representative Kirtman has to say. It also polls very, very well in my neck of the woods. I'm sure that it will overwhelmingly pass in District 83. And I think that Representative Kirtman brings up a good point about putting it in the Constitution as opposed to just a statutory measure. Unfortunately, because the Missouri General Assembly over the last decade or so has chosen to repeatedly overturn the will of the people on a myriad of issues, I think that the folks that are running the initiative petition don't really have much choice. In other words, if you want to do a change policy in the state of Missouri when the legislature's not doing what they should be, the only way to ensure that that change is permanent is by changing the Constitution. Otherwise, we've seen it repeatedly where initiative petitions pass, sometimes overwhelmingly, and within a year the legislature has done away with that. So I will support the measure, and I share some of the concerns about the ability for the legislature to regulate and ensure that the will of the people is followed appropriately. But if we're not going to do what our job is, what happened today shows that the folks in this building right now are not willing to do what they should be.
And, of course, one of the legislature's biggest responsibilities is the budget. It's near completion. What were you happy to see, Representative Kerman?
I was happy to see. I know that right now there's been an issue on the whole Planned Parenthood, and I won't speak too much to that, but of course I have thoughts on the, I'm very pro-life, and so there are certain things that I was very happy with. I know that as the budget bills normally do, they bounce back and forth between the House and the Senate, and then ultimately go to both chambers out of a conference committee, which is what we're kind of dealing with right now on the House floor. Some of those issues still have yet to be debated because we still have a few votes to take. But I'm glad we're getting to the Constitution. We're getting to it a little bit later than we have in the last few years. So I'm just glad we're getting to it before session's over in the next 3 weeks.
Now, Abram, you've been around for a few budgets, and you represent a very pro-life group. What were your takeaways from this budget?
I think overall, most all the pro-life organizations that I'm aware of are very happy with the work that's been done throughout the budget process. There is, we have defunded Planned Parenthood. We believe that that is a very significant issue. All of the issues that we've had over the last year, where a lot of the things that Planned Parenthood has been doing have been called into question. Our Missouri legislature has requested documentation. They've asked individuals from those organizations to come to testify, and they have been stonewalled, so I believe their reaction is appropriate. We are also very pleased to see the level of funding that we are seeing for our alternatives to abortion agencies.
And I just got to say, I mean, you know, we can debate the issue of those subpoenas, but at the end of the day, what those subpoenas do is they request information that is private medical information that is protected under federal law. And the folks that have been subpoenaed are, I'm the lawyer in the room here, and they are in a place where they either are not complying with the subpoena or they're not complying with federal law, and I don't think that that's an appropriate place at all. If any action should happen along those lines, I think that should be up to a court, who I'm pretty confident is going to say that the legislature does not have the authority to basically tell any other organization that they are required to release the private medical history. And if this witch hunt continues, every Missourian should be in great fear, because what today's Planned Parenthood subpoena could be tomorrow's chemotherapy subpoena, and that's a real problem for for liberty in Missouri.
Now, what stood out to you in this year's budget, Representative Minton?
Look, the budget's about priorities, and at the end of the day, I agree with the representative about the addressing the surplus revenue fund. That's a good move. But again, at the end of the day, we're talking about defunding Planned Parenthood, not funding education, not addressing the Medicaid expansion issue, instead defunding or reducing funding for prescription drug programs there. And at the same time, we're, I believe, continuing to pass tax cuts and creating some economic policies that really don't serve the Missourians.
You know, we have, Representative Minton points out that we haven't increased Medicaid yet. The cost of Medicaid in Missouri is going to go up $500 million. It's eating up our total amount of growth in our revenue. And so we're going to have to get a handle on that. I was here in 08 and 09, the two worst budget years in the last 50 years. And now we can't live within our budget when we're increasing revenue. I don't know what would happen if we go back to a situation where we actually have a 5 to 10% reduction in revenue, and when we can't get together on when times are better. So there's challenges that lie ahead.
Now, Abram, your client focuses a lot on social issues, and it looks like Planned Parenthood was defunded from Missouri. Was this a budget victory for you and your client?
We do see that as a budget victory. There's all of the issues swirling around Planned Parenthood are raise a lot of questions, and Planned Parenthood here in Missouri has been asked to come to those committee meetings and to bring documents and to address those issues, and they chose not to comply. which simply serves and makes those questions swirl all the more. I would also say that budget process is inevitably going to be contentious, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's going to happen. But overall, from my perspective, I'm very pleased to see a lot of things included in the budget, including some significant funding increases for our Alternatives to Abortion agencies, and we're very pleased with that.
Another interesting thing that happened this week was Missouri was actually featured in Drudge Report. A Missouri Times article was right at the top about the delegate selection process. Just for the record, that was not our headline. But quick take, if Donald Trump does not receive the necessary amount of votes in the first round of delegate voting, does he win the nomination? Representative Engler.
I think he does. I think he's going to be within 100 votes. I just wish he'd quit saying crazy things. It's hurting us all. But compare it, I fall in the ABC category. That's anybody but Clinton, because she's got problems too. Her trustworthiness is below 50%. People don't trust her. So it's going to be two challenges, from one guy that shoots himself in the foot constantly to a candidate that you can't trust. Now, I'm in the investment business. I go back years ago. I couldn't trust her a year ago. She made $150,000 in a week on cattle futures, and she didn't know how she did it, but then never tried to do it again. I mean, any time that somebody comes in and buys a stock and doubles their money or triples their money in 1 week and then doesn't try it again, I've never seen that happen. So that credibility problem isn't just something that's happened in the last 6 months. So we've got some issues on both sides of the aisle. It's going to be a free-for-all, but I think with Trump as our candidate, I think it makes Clinton come back into play in Missouri.
Representative Mitten?
Well, I think it's interesting that we spend our time talking about Secretary of State Clinton instead of focusing on Donald Trump, who has frankly made a laughingstock out of the GOP party. I think that Donald Trump is a man that has done nothing other than gin up fear-mongering and hatred in order to try and make a political statement. Talking about a wall in wall between the United States and Mexico that Mexico is going to pay for, talk about selling some snake oil and lack of trust. So I do believe that Donald Trump will be the nominee, whether he has the votes on the first ballot or not, or when he gets to the convention. And I think that Republicans need to figure out exactly where they are.
Representative Minton makes a great point, except she gives Donald Trump too much credit. We made a mess out of the Republican Party way before Donald Trump got
yes,
here. But Hillary Clinton and her husband have been making a mess out of the Democratic Party for decades. It's interesting to see now. Everything's crazy. If I kept a server in my garage, I think most people would have a problem with it. But Secretary of State can do it, and we don't have a problem with the comfortable, because anything, Clinton could do anything, and she's okay because she's really got good intentions at heart.
As Secretary of State's have been doing before Secretary Clinton, and honestly,
show me the server in the garage. Show me the server in the garage.
There is nobody that has been better vetted in this entire race than Secretary Clinton.
Yeah, but she has been vetted, and that's the problem.
We'll see what happens when the mail starts coming out against Donald Trump.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Brian.
Oh, thank
will
you.
Will the Donald get the nomination?
Look, the delegate selection process is there for a reason. As much as Donald Trump would like to walk in and win it with 1,100 delegates, 1,237 is the number he needs. And I don't think his campaign has realized yet that he has to take that seriously, or even if they have, how to take that seriously. So Ted Cruz is currently running circles around him in the state-by-state process. And if Trump doesn't wake up, he will lose the nomination. Now, he will walk in with the most pledged delegates at the start, so he will be the favorite. But there is a very good likelihood that Ted Cruz could win the nomination from him. I don't see a third candidate, a Paul Ryan type, walking in there and swiping the nomination from either of those two.
I think it's a reflection, though, on where we're at in a political process, because the Donald is obviously got some problems, but he's tapping into the fact that everybody hates politicians. They are totally against what's happening in our country, and they don't think they have a voice. And Donald Trump gives them a voice, and so he may bring out some. There's a lot of disenfranchised Democrats that are wondering why the heck that the party even wanted to go with a socialist in a lot of the states, and they may be emboldened by Donald Trump. So it's going to be an interesting year. I think that's in politics here, the fact that St. Francis County conservative Democrats voted for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton speaks volumes. They want a Cuban society in St. Francis County. I don't believe that. They don't even know who they're voting for unless they're just hating Hillary.
Let's get our communism, socialism straight.
Yeah, say what they got in Cuba.
Representative, I would say you are very correct. I think there is absolutely a collective disillusionment within the Republican Party. And my fear is that those lapses, those cracks within the party would continue to grow because the convention process is very complicated. And I believe that the party as a whole needs to address those issues if we're going to hold things together through the elections. And Representative Mitten, I would also say that you are also correct. Hillary Clinton has been very thoroughly vetted. However, I'm going to disagree with you because I'm going to say through that vetting process, she's been tried in the balances and found wanting.
Ooh, wanting, that's a good word.
But Abram, is it too late for the Donald to understand what delegates are and how they work?
I hope so.
On a serious note, this past week, Missouri lost a beloved state senator as former Senator Carl Vogel, who represented Cole County in the legislature for more than 20 years, passed away with a battle of pancreatic cancer. Now, you served with the late Senator Representative Engler. Any anecdotes you'd like to share about Senator Carl Vogel?
Senator Vogel was a great, great person. And I mean that sincerely. You say that every time somebody dies. I've served some stinkers that have died, and I didn't say they were great, great people. Carl sat by me. He was one of the most witty, but he never wanted to say anything. He didn't do bills. He wanted to serve the people. If you looked at his resume, he was the head of the Chamber of Commerce. He was head of the United Way. He ran the bell ringing campaign for Salvation Army. He was on the board of the Boy Scouts. He gave and gave and gave to this community, and as president of they own the local bottling company, they supported every organization. There was never a time that somebody went to Carl and asked for a donation for this charity or that baseball team where he didn't give. But he was really funny. One of my favorite times is he taped a phone to the bottom of Bob Pretty, Missouri Net News, chair. I don't know if you hear, but I was there. And then in a quiet time, Peter Kinder's in the chair, and he calls the phone, and it starts playing Wild Thing, and nobody could tell where the thing was coming. And Lieutenant Governor is gaveling down, who's ever got the phone in the chamber? And it was Bob Brady taped to his seat. They finally found it under his seat, and Carl's just over there giggling. And I remember some point we had Senator Nodler, who was very pious. And you in the Senate, you can't even put trash in someone else's trash can. And so Vogel started getting us all to put stuff in his trash can while he was gone. So it'd be overflowing, which just drove Nodler nuts. He started going part of the other side of the room and seeing who's putting stuff in his trash can. It was Vogel. Nobody would suspect Vogel, but Vogel would come in and he'd have his henchman Bubs, who ran his office, came in and put stuff in his trash can while Nodler wasn't looking at stuff, and it just drove it. Just stuff like that, just to make people laugh. And that was him, and he was a great, great person. I'm really sorry for the family. He's got two great kids, and one of them that he was very, very, well, he's proud of both of them, but I talked to him many times about his son, who was a Ranger and deployed 4 times in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he worried about him all the time because he was always being dropped in behind enemy lines, and some of his crew was getting killed and shot. And I've never seen somebody that was both so proud and so scared of their child. And when he didn't re-up the 4th time, Senator Vogel was elated because that says something about him, because when his child knew he could take over the family business and instead enlisted in the Rangers and served his country, it made Carl proud. And we were saddened by his loss, and he just turned 61 last month, and it's just way too soon.
Now, what takeaways do you have from the senator's passing, Brian? I know you've seen a lot of legacies in the making and heard of a lot of legacies that are...
I have, but specifically with Senator Vogel, I grew up here in Jefferson City. I'm roughly the same age as his son, Jake, a year older than him. So every baseball team, every football team, every basketball team that I ever played on, or every league I was ever in, was sponsored by Coca-Cola, and that was Carl Vogel. And so everything that Representative Engler just said, he rattled off the resume of all the... You know, the Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce and the Boys and Girls Club, all the organizations he was involved in, that's absolutely true. Carl Vogel was a pillar of this community. One of the business leaders, one of the true philanthropists, somebody who ran for office not for any any financial gains, any other gains, purely for the sake of serving the residents of Mid-Missouri. When he was here in the Senate, his office had, I think, the most open-door policy of any legislator I've ever seen. His office was situated directly across from the third-floor main doors to the Senate chamber. The doors were always open, and every single day, Bubs, his chief of staff, made lunch for the entire Senate. And it was essentially the Senate's lunchroom. And members and staff and anyone passing by was welcome to come in and grab a cheeseburger and sit down and chat with the senator. Everybody loved Carl Vogel. He's left a great legacy. He's got a great family, and the family business is still running.
Let me tell one quick story about him and Bubs and the relationship. They both served together in the House. And Bubs took care of all the details. Carl just wanted to help people. He didn't want to do legislation. And I remember one time a constituent called Bubs, and Bubs would pretend he's Carl. And he'd say, yeah. He said, Carl, you got to do something about Bubs. He said, Bubs won't let me talk to you most of the time. He said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, Bubs knows that I'm busy, and he's trying to be a screen door. And he says, yeah, but he's got to know who should be able to talk to you. And Bubs says, well, okay, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to write him up, and I will put it in his file, the disciplinary notice in his file, and I'll speak to him. He said, well, okay, I think you should do that. And he hangs up, and Bub writes himself a disciplinary note, puts it in his file, and the fun part was Carl just thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world. Yeah, he said, I disciplined him. And it was Bub's disciplining himself on behalf of Carl. So that's the kind of relationship they had, and that was kind of zany. They made him quit. He was Bubs used to barbecue on the back railing, put the grill outside the window, and that's where they barbecued, and then, until they finally made him quit. So he had to start barbecuing down in the Senate garage. He'd barbecue on the night before and so that they could serve it. It's a wonder that some of us didn't die, because he'd cook the whole meal, and some of it would be sitting there for hours, and Bubs would make it work. You know, he'd use these warmers to make mashed potatoes, and he'd use the warmers to make, you know, green beans, and he'd bring in the stuff he barbecued the day before that he'd have on the heater for 24 hours, and you serve that, and to best of my knowledge, nobody died. But there was always free Coke, and Bubs and Carl Vogel, he had that thing stocked every day. And he was just a wonderful guy, and we did it. At the funeral, the hearse had his Senate place on it, which I thought was funny, and the back of in the vestibule of the church, they had a Coke stand with, and the Monsignor was passing out Cokes as people were leaving. It was just very, very fitting for Carl, and he planned everything. He planned his whole funeral. I mean, he didn't want anything big. He just wanted people to come and get together and laugh and tell stories and stuff. So anyway, that's it. We miss it, Carl.
Let me add this. We lost Carl Vogel way too early. He was 63 when he passed from pancreatic cancer.
Hey, to tell you, 61.
He's 61.
He just turned 61 last month. I know, because it's too close to my ballpark.
Yeah. It is way too close to Representative Engler's age. But, you know, it underscores the importance of I mentioned earlier I was a cancer patient. I want to include this plug every time I can. Regular testing, monitoring, get your checkups, see your doctors, catch it early. Your chances of survival dramatically increase.
Now, Representative Minton, with term limits, former legislators often become a figment of legend. What have been your takeaways and impressions of the senator's legacy?
I can say that what Representative Barnes had to say on the floor earlier this week made me so sad that I was unable to serve with someone, and Representative Engler's comments today just exacerbate that. So 61 is too young, and we have folks serving their communities in this way all across the state, and I appreciate that this is an opportunity for us to not only pay homage to the senator, but to all those folks that serve their community.
And, of course, the Missouri Family Network's been around for over 25 years and knew the senator. Any thoughts, Abram?
Senator Vogel was unique in this building. And he was unique because of his genuineness, his humility. And anybody who's been involved in Capitol culture knows how valuable those assets are. And my hope for the legacy that Senator Vogel leaves behind in this building would be that genuine compassion for one another, and that unique way to use humor, to use our life experiences that makes us who we are, to bring that into this building and to use that as a gift to watch over Missourians and do what is best for them. And our thoughts and prayers are most certainly with his family at this time.
Now, of course, we thank the Vogel family for sharing the Senator with Missouri, and they will continue to be in the Capitol's thoughts and prayers. Thank you to our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, our listeners on KMOX and KCMO, and also today's guests, Brian Grace, April Messer, Representative Gina Mitten, and Representative Kevin Engler, who is also letting us use his office, and I thank him for that.
No problem. I appreciate the crowd that's here.
Thank you so much for joining me live from the Capitol this week for this week's hashtag MoLedge podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and also follow us on Twitter at MoLedge Podcast for new episodes.